And it wasn't too far after the Feast of Sukkot, about November, I was in prayer. And I felt the Father was telling me to start preparing the bride. Start preparing the bride. So again, you know, we all get this as we're praying. We get inspiration of things, and then you start to pray about it and see what that means. And ever since that time, you know, and I'm wondering about it, it's been really an exciting year because everything that seems to happen keeps pointing back to the bride and the bridegroom. So in January, me and Joseph took a trip to the Philippines, and we were having a meeting there. And all of a sudden, we had a meeting with the ambassador for Israel, Doran Ben-On, and it was a special dinner they had for us. And after the dinner, they said, there's a presentation. We'd like you to come down. We're going to be doing something. And we went down there. And all of a sudden, there was like 20 women in bride dresses. And the ambassador saying to me, what is this about? I said, I don't know. What is it about? And they were doing a dedication to the bride. And I said, wow, this is interesting. And then after I came back from there, the Father, just each thing that was happening, kept pointing back to the bride and the bridegroom. So that is what I'm going to talk about today. This message is signs in the heaven and the bridegroom's return. Because there is an amazing sign that's happening right now that we're going to see today that is showing us that our Savior is ready to return, maybe sooner than many people think. So I will be going to some PowerPoint in a little bit. Over here, these are our players, because as we get into the signs of the heaven, you got to know the players. And first, what I'm going to go over is some things with the Star of Bethlehem. Because once you understand the Star of Bethlehem, our Father works in the circular, not the linear, you'll understand what to look for today. So keep this in mind. You know, Venus is the morning star. We know from Revelation 22, Yeshua is called the morning star. So something very interesting that Venus is a big player when we're looking for signs in the heaven. Jupiter, which is the king's planet, another major player with the signs of the heaven, and particularly with the sign of the Star of Bethlehem, as we're going to see. I will reference a book here by Ernest Martin called The Star That Astonished the World. And in this book, because of Dr. Martin's information that he came up with, more than 500 planetariums around the world changed the birth of the Messiah from December 25th to 3 BC. When he was born. So again, it's not theology I'm going to give you today. I'm going to give you simply facts, you know, astronomical facts of things that have happened and prove to you what the Star of Bethlehem is. They know it. There's no doubt about it. They know what it is. And from that, we're going to see other things. Then, of course, Regulus. Regulus is the king's star. There are four permanent stars in the sky, in the north, the south, the east, and the west. Traditionally, even going back to the time of Enoch, they believe these stars represented four cherubs. It's interesting, Revelation talks about four cherubs on the four corners of the earth. There could be a correlation there. But Regulus, Rex, it literally means, you know, king. So this is a very important star when we're looking at Yeshua and we're looking at his birth and also looking at his return. So Regulus, the king star. And then two constellations. We're going to go over because we're going to see that the Maseroth, as we'll get into a little later, it's not called the zodiac. You know, the Maseroth in Hebrew, which is the elliptical path where you have the 12 constellations for the 12 tribes of Israel. And I believe going back all the way to creation, because we'll see that every single constellation represents a tribe of Israel. So again, I'm not worried that New Age people and Zoroastrianism and all this hijacked this. Because what I'm going to show you goes back way, way before any paganism. It goes back to Yahweh, who set this out from creation. So the two constellations that we're going to focus on, because these are the most important when we're talking about the signs of the heaven, are going to be the constellation of the Lion of Judah, and the constellation of Betula, the Virgin. So those are the players. Keep them in mind as we go through here. First thing I want to say when I start out here is that, 1 minute please. I'm absolutely amazed that as we're getting closer to the end and closer to really the beginning, because it's not the end, it's a new beginning. It's a new world that's coming, a better world as we know, the kingdom of Yahweh. And the kingdom of Yahweh is world without end. So it's an end to Satan's system, but it really is the beginning of a new world. And as we're getting closer to that, we're right on the threshold, you would think believers around the world would be jumping out of their pants. You know, because how close we're getting, and yet it's the opposite. You find people saying there could be 100 years left, there can be 1,000 years left. And last night we proved the sign of the fig tree being Israel. There's certainly no way it's 1,000 years left or 100 years left or even 50 years left. Because again, according to the scripture, the ones who saw the Holocaust, Psalm 102, will be the ones who see the Messiah return. And we know when Zion is built, the Messiah will return, Psalm 102. So we know we're close to that. Yet somehow many believers are being blinded, and Yeshua warned of it. He warned to watch for the cares of the world and these things, lest that they take you unaware. So again, the fact that many people around the world are being taken unaware doesn't mean you have to be taken unaware. So keep your antennas up as we're talking here, because face it, 1/3 of the Bible is prophecy. 90% of those prophecies are for our time. What is the point of the Father giving us such specific times as 1,290 days, but wait for the 1,335 days? He's giving us all these different time factors. What would be the point of that if we can't know it? And what do people say?
Well, no man knows the day or the hour, right? No man knows the day or the hour.
Well, maybe no man knows the day or the hour, but people do know the week and the month and the year. We're going to know the time because he told us certain signs to watch for to know we're in that time. And that's what we're going to look at today. Let's start in Mark 13. Mark the 13th chapter. Verse 28 through 30. He says, from the fig tree learn the parable. When its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaf, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things happening, know that it is near at the door. Truly I say to you, not at all will this generation pass until all these things occurred. So like we said, it's all happening in one generation. Like I said yesterday, it's not like Daniel's prophecy. Daniel's prophecy was a prophecy for 77s. You know, 490 years. It was something that would be more than a generation. But here Yeshua is telling us, when this starts, he gave us a starting point. 1945, what happens? The beast power, the UN gets started, the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, all these things happen. And then, like I said, 3 years later, Israel becomes a nation. Isn't it pretty interesting that 3.5 year period difference between the start of all the global end time and the start of Israel? You know, will that play in together? Because it also tells us, you know, that Jerusalem will be judged after 70 years, and it says Babylon will be judged after 70 years. But maybe their beginning is that 3.5 year difference. So all these things in the end seem to come together. Then we go down to verse 35. He says, then you watch, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, at evening or midnight or cock crowing or morning, so that he may not come suddenly and find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. So again, he told us to watch. He told us to watch. He didn't say you're never going to know. He didn't say all of a sudden he was just going to appear. No, he told us to watch for certain things. So what are we watching for? Let's go to Luke 21. Luke 21, verse 34. Luke 21 and verse 34. Says, but beware in yourself that your hearts never become heavy by extravagance and by drunkenness and by distress of the world, and that they should suddenly come upon you as a snare, for it will come on all those sitting on the face of the earth. And it's true. Look at today. I mean, we're in this tinderbox right now. The world is getting ready to explode. You know, the Middle East is changing. They're getting ready to attack Israel. America's getting all their embassies attacked. They've already declared worldwide jihad. And yet if you go in the West, they're acting like nothing's happening. They're acting like nothing is happening because it's coming on them unaware. Verse 36. Then be watchful at every time, begging that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things, the things being about to happen, and to stand before the Son of Man. Who are the ones that are accounted worthy to escape it? Ezekiel 9, the ones who are sighing and crying for the abominations that are going on in the earth. You know, it's not the ones that are just partying all the way to the end. It's the ones that are seeing these things and we're praying fervently, begging the Father, please bring your kingdom. Romans 8 says even the creation, you know, is groaning because it's getting so bad. It's at a point where the people of Yahweh can't take it anymore. And he sees that and he hears that. And he tells us certain signs to watch for so we don't lose hope. So that we know his return is coming. It's very, very quickly. Luke 12. Go back to Luke 12, verse 36. Luke 12 and verse 36. It says, "And you be like men awaiting their master when he returns from the wedding ceremony, so that he coming and knocking, they will at once open to him. Blessed are those slaves whom the master will find when he comes to be awake. Truly I say to you that he will gird himself and will make them recline, and coming up he will serve them. And if he comes in the second watch or the third watch and finds it so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, that if the housemaster had known the hour the thief was coming, he would have watched and would not have allowed his house to be dug through. And you then be ready, for in the moment that you don't expect it, the Son of Man comes." And that always mystified me. I said, how could that be? I'm always expecting him. How could he come at a time I don't expect him? But we just read, for many people, they're going to be not expecting him. They're going to be living to the world. They're going to be going to these things. So this is what I say to you. The world is looking for what? Signs and wonders. Yet in the end time, who's given signs and wonders? The anti-Messiah. He'll deceive the people by lying signs and wonders. So I'm going to show you today signs. Not lying signs and wonders. I'm going to show you something that's so simple, but cannot be refuted, that our Heavenly Father did it because mankind can't fix the signs in the heavens. And to the people that know their Elohim will know it's from him, and other people will go away and say, well, we're still waiting for the signs and wonders. And we'll see. We'll see who are the people that will understand it. Daniel 12 and verse 9. Who are the people that will understand? Daniel 12 and verse 9. It says, "And he said to Daniel, go, for the words are closed up and sealed to the end. Many shall be purified and made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly. And not one of the wicked will understand, but the wise will discern and understand." So that's today. You know, are you wise? Are you wise? Because we're going to see the ones who knew the sign, remember? The sign of Bethlehem that we're going to get into here in a few minutes. Who were they? They were wise men. They were wise men because the wise will discern, but the wicked won't discern. The wicked are looking for the lying miracles. The wise are watching for the sign that the Father told for. So that's what we're going to see today. What are these signs? What did he tell us to look for? Luke 21. Let's go back to Luke 21. Luke 21 and verse 22. It says, "For these are days of vengeance, when all things that have been written are to be fulfilled." Drop down to verse 25. "And there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. And the earth will be anxiety of nations with bewilderment, roaring of sea and of surf, men fainting from fear and expectation of the things coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken." Drop down to verse 28. "But when these things begin to happen, have courage and lift up your heads, because your salvation draws near." So there'll be signs in the heavens. Signs in the heavens. Joel 2 and verse 31. Joel 2 and verse 31. Joel 2 and verse 31. Says, "The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming and great and awesome day of Yahweh." The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood. What is he talking about? He's talking about eclipses. Exactly what happens. Lunar eclipses, solar eclipses. I don't know if we'll have opportunity. If we do, I have a very good message about the moon will be turned to blood, because 2014 and 2015, a very, very rare tritod of eclipses are happening, solar and lunar. And what's very rare about them, it's happening at Pesach and Sukkot and Pesach and Sukkot, 2014, 2015. And those years keep coming back up in conversation. Something that's happening in 2014, something happened in 2015. It was another thing that I saw that said that judgment seems to come the day before the Shemitah year starts on nations that come against Israel. And they were showing, whether it's America or somebody else, any nation that didn't come, that attacked Israel or came against Israel, the day before the Shemitah started, there was judgment, and the Shemitah starts 2015. It's also a Shemitah year. So many things are coming. Those, keep that in your mind as we're going through this, those 2 years, 14 and 15, because I'm going to share with you something else about that a little later. But let's go to Genesis 1 and verse 14. Because let's see now what these signs are. Because I'm not going to talk today about the eclipses. I'm going to talk about another sign. Eclipses are one form of a sign, and they will happen. We read it in Joel, but I'm going to talk about another sign. Genesis 1 and verse 14. And Elohim said, "Let light sources be in the expanse of the heavens to divide between the day and the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years." The word is oath. It's literally a sign. So the heavenly bodies, the sun, the moon, and the stars, are for signs and for seasons. Do you know why we traditionally around the world have a 7-day week? Because you have 5 major planets. You know, you have here Venus and Jupiter, and you also have Mercury, you have Neptune, and Saturn. Also with the sun and the moon. So the 5 major planets and the sun and the moon make 7, and that's where we get the days of our week. For a matter of fact, if you look at the Roman calendar, those pagan days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, every day comes from. They come from the names of the planets, and they come from the sun and the moon. You know, but at least Yahweh allowed that to keep the 7-day week, because we know the Sabbath rotates on a 7-day week. But the signs are going to come from the sun, the moon, and the stars. So if we could show our first clip here, our first picture, that you'll see that the Maseroth, not Zodiac, Zodiac is something that came later from paganism, but the Maseroth goes all the way back to the beginning of time. And what you'll see is that every single constellation was named after one of the tribes of Israel. You have 12 constellations, you have 12 tribes. And these are the 12 that are on the ecliptic circle. And amazingly enough, there's books that were written in the 1800s, one by Bullinger, called Witness in the Stars. There's another one called by Zeiss, something like that too, Witness in the Stars, or
Gospel
in the Stars, by Joseph Zeiss. And they tell the whole plan of salvation. Because it's amazing when you look at these, not the pagan ones, but you look at all of them. You look at not a half man, half goat, but you look at a man that is an archer, right? Who's coming, just like Yeshua's coming on a white horse with a bow in his hand. And you see a goat for atonement. You know, and then you're seeing over here, you're not seeing a crab, you're seeing a beetle. Because the beetle has hundreds of legs, showing from the covenant of Abraham that his descendants will be as the sand of the sea. And the whole thing tells the story of salvation. And like I said, the books show it. So I'm not going to go into that particular part of it today. I want to mention it because I think it's important. But I want to show you that this is not something that started out of paganism. This is something that goes back well before the time of Enoch, has always been believed, and I'll prove to you now, I'll show you all the scriptures, that the scriptures actually talk about this. It talks about the Maseroth. Because literally, that's when it says the constellations, that's the word in Hebrew. It's called Maseroth. There's 12 constellations around the ecliptic circle of the rotation of the sun called the Maseroth. The sun travels through one constellation every 30 days, and then when it comes back around, it's the beginning of the year. And that's why, like I said, you know, the year, you have to wait for the year to start before the equinox. Because it's crazy. If you're going simply by barley here in Israel, what happened before Israel was a nation? What were they going by? You know? And what happens if barley is ripe in February, or barley isn't ripe at all? What would happen? How would you start your year? There's nothing ever in the Bible that ever talks about calculating the beginning of your year by barley. Barley is a byproduct. As long as you wait for the equinox, you will always have barley for your wave sheaf ceremony. But you have to wait till the equinox so that the earth would have passed through all 12 constellations and then come back around. And even Josephus mentions this. He says, now that the sun is in Aries, the year could begin. The year could begin. So it shows the time of the year, it shows the calendar, and it explains the salvation in there. Let's go to Job 9. Let me show you some scriptures in here about this. Job 9. In verse 6. It says, "Who shakes the earth out of the place and its pillars tremble? The one speaking to the sun and it does not rise. And he sets a seal around the stars." This is what it is. The ecliptic circle. "Stretching out the heavens by himself and walking on the waves of the sea. Who made the bear? Orion and Pleiades in the chambers of the south. Now, what happens is you have 12 main constellations that are on the ecliptic circle, and each one of these constellations have three other constellations in them. So altogether, you have 48 constellations. There are more now that they found, but in the biblical times, it was 48. And what you see, the constellations that are within these constellations also are part of the good news. But here, talking about the bear, talking about Orion, talking about Pleiades, these are all constellations that are part of the Maserot and the chambers of the south. Who was doing great things past finding out? Yea, marvelous things without number. Behold, he goes by me, and I do not see him, and he passes by, but I do not perceive him. Behold, he takes away. Who can turn him back? Who will say to him, what are you doing? Let's go to Job 38. Job 38 and verse 31. He says, who can bind the bands of the Pleiades or loosen the cords of Orion? You know, Orion, the man with the sickle, right? Who can bring out the constellations in their season? That word is Maseroth, exactly what you're looking at. Who can bring out the Maseroth in their seasons? Or who can guide the bear with its sons? Do you know the limits of the heavens? Can you establish their rulership on the earth? So here it is. Job is, they're giving, Yahweh is giving his credence. He's giving his powerfulness over everything. And he's saying, who can do this? Who can do it? Because what I'm going to show to you today, man cannot corrupt. Man cannot corrupt. You know, it's not like somebody over here getting on the internet and writing around the world whether he sees barley or not. And when I show you what I'm going to show you, I want to ask the question, what man can do what Yahweh's doing? What man can do what Yahweh's doing? So let's go to Revelation 1:20. We'll see another reference in Revelation to this. Revelation 1:20. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand and the seven golden menorahs. The seven stars are the messengers or the angels of the seven congregations. And the seven menorahs you saw are the seven congregations. We know in the Bible stars are related with angels. They're connected with angels. We see in Revelation 9 a star falls from heaven. Has the key to the bottomless pit. So again, in biblical times and even before biblical times, particularly in Persia, because there were some very, very important men in Persia who saw something that they knew the king of Israel was born. And that's what we want to find out, because if we can find out the pattern, Yahweh doesn't change. And this goes back more than 3,000 BC, almost to creation, that the Persians watched this. There were people that were expertise in it. They watched it every night because they looked for these different signs, because the signs were telling them certain things. And like I said, the one we're going to get into first, the sign of Bethlehem, we're going to see that there was a particular sign that was told to them to watch for. And when they saw that sign, that's when they came. And like I said, now, through computers, we can know exactly what that sign is. Because through computers, these patterns that happen, they happen over and over and over, just like the moon. It's a 19-year time cycle. Every 19 years, it repeats itself. So you can go on a computer program to any point in time and you can see where the moon was on a certain night. The same with the constellations. You can go to any year, any day, any point in time, and you could see, because they're always moving in the same direction, you could see exactly what was in that constellation. What conjunction happened, you know? What was going on at that time. Psalm 19. Let's go to Psalm 19. Really interesting psalm concerning this. Psalm 19, start in verse 1. It says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. The heavens are recording the glory of El, and the works of his hand, the expanse is manifesting. The heavens are recording the glory of El. Day by day they pour forth speech, and night to night reveals the knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words where their voice is not heard. See, it talks about the good news going to all the world. Here it is. Anybody around the world, anywhere, any night can look up, and by these constellations, you can see the good news message of the Lamb of Yah slain from the foundation of the world. That those constellations, the Maseroth, tells the whole plan of salvation. Every month, every year. And that's what he's saying here. There's no speech to them, yet their words and their voice is heard. Their measuring line, the ecliptic circle, their measuring line has gone out throughout the earth, and their words to the end of the world. And them he has set up a tent for the sun. And that's literally what happens. The sun, every 30 days, revolves around another one. This is a tent for the sun. And he comes forth like a bridegroom. Now we're starting to see the bridegroom come. He comes forth like a bridegroom from his canopy. He rejoices like a hero to run a race. He's going forth from the end of the heavens and his orbit to the ends. And nothing is hidden from his heat. So Yahweh puts it right here. He told us already. And now, you know where this is reiterated in the New Testament? Really interesting scripture. Let's go to Romans 10. Because Romans 10 quotes this. And I think unless you understand the signs of the heaven, you'd miss very quickly what Paul was referring to. Romans 10. And verse 13. Romans 10 and verse 13. For everyone who ever may call on the name of Yahweh will be saved. Comes from Joel 2:32, right after the signs in the heavens. So again, connected to that. How then may they call on the one whom they have not believed? And how may they believe one whom they have not heard? And how may they hear without a preacher? And how may they preach if they are not sent? Even as it has been written, how beautiful the feet of those who preach the good news of peace, of those preaching good things. But not all obeyed the good news, for Isaiah says, Yahweh, who has believed our report? Then faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Elohim. But I say, have they not heard? So he's saying, how can the world hear if no one sends? And how could they go unless they're a preacher, right? Blessed are the feet that come. But he's saying, now I'm going to tell you, they have heard. And look what he quotes. Look what he quotes. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, rather into all the earth, their voice went out, and to the ends of the world, their words. Psalm 19, right here. So he's saying, they have heard. Yo, they're heard. But you need someone to go and explain it. Blessed are the feet of the ones bringing the gospel of good peace. So now, you don't have to go around the world trying to tell them something that they can't believe. You go and you show them this from creation. And you say, I can tell you the plan of salvation in 20 minutes through the Maseroth. I can show you the Lamb of Yah slain from the foundation of the world. I can show you the covenant with Abraham with the ram. I can show you the true nature of man coming from the two Adams, from creation. I can show it all to you in about 20 minutes. Blessed are the feet of those coming with the good news of peace. But here, interesting enough, in Romans, Paul is quoting back to this. Quoting back to that. At the birth of Messiah, there were some amazing signs that happened at that time. Not just one night, but for 18 months. For 18 months, there was amazing signs that were happening in the heaven. And again, if we can understand these signs, then we can understand what I'm going to go over today. So let's go to Matthew 2. Let's start looking at the Star of Bethlehem now. Matthew 2, in verse 1. And when Yeshua had been born in Bethlehem of Judea, the days of Herod the king, behold, magi, wise men, right? The wise will understand. The wicked will not understand. Wise men arrived from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. But Herod the king, having heard this, he was troubled in all Jerusalem with him. And having gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he asked of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For it has been written by the prophets, and you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, in no way are you least among the governors of Judah. For out of you shall come out one ruling, who shall shepherd my people. Then secretly calling the Magi, the wise men, Herod asked of them exactly the time of the star appearing. Now this is interesting, because remember, Herod wasn't seeing it. So it wasn't a sign for the world, it was a sign for the wise. It was a sign for the wise. It was the sign. Who saw it? Who was the one that knew a king was born and came from Persia? The wise men. The one who was watching. The ones who knew what to look for. But the other people, they didn't know anything. Herod, living right there, he didn't know what was happening. Secretly calling them, he asked them exactly the time of the star appearing. And sending them to Bethlehem, he said, having gone exactly inquire about the child. And when you find him, bring word again, so that coming I may also worship him. And having heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they saw in the east went before them until it had come and stood over where the child was. And in Hebrew, the word for star, it can be star or planet. Kakarb. It's the same word. And seeing the star, they rejoice exceedingly with great joy. Now, interesting enough, if you equate this with Yeshua's birth, with the shepherds in the field, it's very different. Because the shepherds in the field come, and Yeshua is in a manger. You know, out in a cave. Some people say a stable. But here it says he's in a house. When he's born, he's a newborn. Over here, he's called a child. So when the wise men come, it was not right at his birth. The shepherds came at his birth. The wise men came probably 7-8 months later. And that's why Herod said, you know, tell me the time you first saw. And what did he do? He killed the children 2 years and under because he didn't know if the sign was from the conception of Yeshua or the birth of Yeshua. So he played it safe. And that's what we're going to see. For 18 months, there were signs that were going on, that were happening. And then the last thing that the wise men saw, they said, that's it. The king is born. It's time to go. I'll just read here a little bit, because who are these wise men? I'll read Martin's book just here a second. He says, there is a considerable amount of early information about the Magi of the East. We are told by Herodotus that they were originally one of the 6 tribes of the Medes, a priestly caste similar to the Levites from Israelites. Similar to the Levites. So there's a lot of interesting things. Some people believe they may have even been Israelites. There's stories of that. But we do know one thing. Where were they getting their information from? Let's go to the book of Daniel. Daniel 4. Daniel 4 and verse 8. Daniel 4 and verse 8. But at last Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy Elohim. And I told the dream before him. This is Nebuchadnezzar talking. O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, master of the magi, because I know that the spirit of the holy Elohim is in you and no secret baffles you, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen in this meeting. So here it is, that Daniel was the master of the Magi. Where were the Magi getting their information on watching when the king of Israel would be born? They're getting it from Daniel. They're getting it from Daniel. If you go to Daniel 5:11, go over one chapter. It says, there is a man in your kingdom, again talking about Daniel, in whom the spirit of the holy Elohim in the days of your father, light and understanding, wisdom was found in him, like the wisdom of the Elohim. Your father, King Nebuchadnezzar, your father, the king, appointed him chief of the magi, chief of the magicians, conjurers, Chaldeans, and stargazing ones. And stargazing ones. Remember, Daniel's prophecy is for 70 sevens. So now these guys are at the end of that. But Daniel told these people back then that there was a prophecy of a star coming from Bethlehem, and that when you see this, you're going to know that the king of Israel is born, and that's when you're going to go. So clearly that's where they're getting it from. Daniel 9, 24 and 25. 70 sevens are decreed as to your people and to your holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make atonement for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know then and understand that from the issuing of the word to restore and rebuild Jerusalem to Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. It shall be built again in a plaza and a trench, even in times of affliction. So the Magi knew it was about that time. They had the prophecy from Daniel. Every generation was passing it to the next one. And now they knew it's about the time to happen. And what were they doing? They were watching. They were watching. He told them what to look for. They looked for it. And they found it. The wise men, they learned from Daniel when the king of Israel was going to come. What was one of those scriptures that Daniel told them? Numbers 24. Numbers 24 and verse 17. This is the prophecy from Balaam. He says, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not near. A star leads forth out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall dash the corners of Moab, and shall break down all the sons of turmoil. So going, like I said, way back in time, they say even to Enoch, it was prophesied of a star being related with the king of Israel. Arbabano and many, many Jewish sages all wrote about this. It's just today, you know, the Jews really don't want it to come out because they don't want us to know that Yeshua is the Messiah. But this was not hidden. It wasn't hidden from them about this star. A star and a scepter. Let's go to Genesis 49. Another really interesting prophecy that's related to this. Genesis 49. Because you want to know something that's really interesting. Any believer, if you mention the Lion of Judah, everybody knows right away, right? You know, there's no doubt about it. Yet there's only two times in the Bible it's mentioned. Here in Genesis 49 and Revelation 5:5. The only two scriptures ever equating Judah with a lion, and yet they're very important. Because we know that that is the sign of Yeshua. He is the Lion of Judah. We know that from Revelation 5:5. But here, Genesis 49 and verse 9. Judah is a lion's whelp. My son, you have risen up from the prey. He stoops, he crouches like a lion. And like a lioness, who can arouse him? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the lawmaker from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs, Shiloh, and the obedience of the people to him. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the lawgiver from between his feet. What is that word in Hebrew? Regalf. Regalf. What is the king's star? Regulus. Regulus. And here's the really interesting part. Because, as I'm going to show you here in a second, when the star of Bethlehem came, the king's planet Jupiter came into conjunction with the king's star Regulus between the feet of the lion, just like it says here. And I ain't making it up. I ain't making it up. You could look it up yourself. This happened September 11, 3 BC, the feast of Yom Teruah, the day Yeshua was born. That's fact. That's fact. So Yahweh said it. The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the lawmaker from between his feet, Regal, Regulus, until he comes to whom it belongs, Shiloh, and the obedience of the people to him. So here it is. But that wasn't the first thing that they saw. The first thing they saw, about 18 months before these signs started happening, and again, Ernest Martin goes over this in this book. You're welcome to get the book, The Story That Astonished the World, and goes over this with the birth of Yeshua. And like I said, 500 planetariums around the world now have changed the date of the birth of Messiah from December 25th to September 11th, 3 BC, because it's proof. It's proof. They can go. You can go to a, what do you call those where you look in the stars? Planetarium. And you could go to that date and you could see it up there, amazingly enough. So amazing things were happening for 18 months. But August 12, 3 BC, if we can go to the next slide. August 12, 3 BC, looking at the east at the conjunction of Venus and Jupiter. So now we come back to Venus, the morning star. Yeshua is called the morning star. And there's a conjunction there, August 12th, followed later by a very close conjunction in 2 BC. So this is what they're seeing. They're seeing here in the constellation of Leo, they're seeing in August, Venus and Jupiter coming into conjunction, and they're knowing something's happening. Then 1 month later, what do they see at Yeshua's birth? Next slide. In the constellation of Leo, they're seeing Jupiter and Regulus between his feet, exactly what we read from Genesis 49. Can you imagine? Something that's written before, exactly, that was what it was. When he's born on September 11th. Interesting date for Americans, right? 3 BC, exactly as it says. And now, though this went on for another 6 months, and if we go to the next slide, we see here Venus and Jupiter again coming into conjunction in June 17th, 2 BC. Now, why did it happen that way? You know why? Because what happened was, first there was a conjunction, and it came, and it stopped, and it retrogressed, and it came back, and it retrogressed, and it came back, and it literally made a crown on top of Regulus. Literally crowned him. And when they saw that, they said, that's it, get your bags, we're going to Bethlehem, the king is born. Can you imagine? Because these are the players. These are the players. The morning star, the king's planet, and the king's star. Now we know the players. And this is fact that it happened. Let me show you something else. Go to Revelation 12. Go to Revelation 12. Because another really interesting thing happened to prove. I could prove to you within 2 hours of when he was born from Scripture. Revelation 12 and verse 1. And a great sign was seen in the heavens. a woman having been clothed with the sun, and the moon was underneath her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And having a babe in her womb, she cried, being in labor, and having birth pains to deliver. And another sign was seen in the heavens, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his head were 7 crowns, and his tail threw a third part of the stars of the heaven to throw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman about to bear, so when she bears, he might devour her child. Now, if we go to the next slide, this is exactly what happened when Yeshua was born. The constellation of Betulah, the virgin, right? Exactly on Yom Teruah, between 6:45 and 8:45, the sun was at her midsection, the moon was underneath her feet. Exactly at that time. Exactly, to the T you could show within 2 hours. So Revelation 12 being fulfilled to the very hour. A sign, an oath, was seen in heaven. A woman having been clothed with the sun and the moon underneath her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars, 12 tribes of Israel. Another thing is, she has in her hand, in one hand, she has grain. What was the sign also in Genesis 3:15? The seed of the woman. And in the other hand, she has a twig. Revelation 11, right? A shoot will come forth from the branch of Jesse. Literally, what's in the hand there? This happened right at his birth. Right at his birth. We see this happening here. September 11, 3 BC, right at sunset, exactly when Yeshua is born, the sun in the midsection, the moon under her feet, Yom Teruah, woman holding barley and the seed of the woman. Now, why is this so important to us now? Eric, if you can go back to that first slide. Why is this important now? Because there's another part about the signs in the heavens that the Father gave us for signs. And what happens is, you have the earth going around him. They have two zodiacs, what they call the tropical zodiac, which tells the year. You know, every 30 days it's in another sign there. And then you have the sidereal zodiac, which is the actual constellations themselves. And interesting enough that every 72 years, the constellations retrogress 1 degree. Which means somewhere around every 2,150 years, this turns one. It's like it's like turning a wheel. Now, what's interesting about it is, if we show you from the beginning of the year, right? The beginning of the year is Aries. Let's find it here. Number 7. Okay. So, Aries was at the beginning of the year during the time of Abraham. But before Abraham, because, like I said, almost every 2,160 years it moves, at the beginning of creation, it would have been in Taurus. Taurus, the bull, the ox. What does the ox mean in Hebrew? It means the authority. So from creation, it's going from the authority, the ox, to the time of Abraham, it's moving into Aries, the ram. The sign of the covenant with Abraham, right? Then, right before Yeshua's birth, at the beginning of the year, it's in zero Pisces. What does he say? I will make you fishers of men. He says to Joseph that you will be like fishes in the ocean. Now as I am speaking, somewhere in the next few years, because it moves so slow. Like I said, every 2,160 years, we are ready to enter the age of Aquarius. We're ready to enter a new age here. And I don't mean new age like new agers. I'm talking about a water bearer. What happens at the temple when the Messiah returns? There's water that's coming from underneath the temple that's going down and healing everything. The Father is amazing, and he's showing us this, that it fits. It doesn't happen every day. It doesn't happen every year. Every 2,160 years it happens. So now, like we said, these right here, right? They're extremely important, particularly Regulus. Because Regulus was not always in Leo. It wasn't always in the lion. Because remember, they move every 2,160 years. So Eric, if we can go back here. At creation, where was Regulus? Where was the king star at creation? Flip one. Here. At creation, Regulus is in the twins. The dual nature of man. Right? first Adam and the second Adam. This is where the king star, this is Yeshua's star. Yeshua's star is here at creation. Now let's look where it is when Abraham is going into his covenant. It's in Cancer. The beetle, remember? Hundreds of legs. I'll make your descendants like the stars of the heaven. Now it's in here. Now let's go one more. Then, before Yeshua is getting ready to be born, 157 BC. Interesting enough, right after the rededication of the temple, Hanukkah, Regulus goes between the feet of the lion, preparing for Yeshua's return. The rededication of the temple, the physical temple, and now, this year, just happened, from November 28th of last year to August 28th of this year, look what just happened. Regulus is moved to the crown of the Virgin. 2,160 years, it did not move just in this last year. Now, Regulus, Yeshua's star, is in the crown of the Virgin. Amazing, amazing. This will not happen for another 26,000 years. If we go to the next one. You can see it here. So let me go to Genesis 37. So the very story that's related to Yeshua's birth, that has for more than 2,000 years been between the feet of the lion according to Scripture, has now moved into the crown of the Virgin. Genesis 37, 5 through 9. And Joseph dreamed a dream and told it to his brothers, and they increased to hate him still more. And he said to them, "Now hear this dream which I have dreamed. And behold, we were binding sheaves in the middle of the field. And behold, my sheaf rose up and also stood up. And behold, your sheaves came around and bowed themselves to my sheaf." And his brother said to him, "Shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you really rule over us?" And they hated him more because of his dreams and because of his words. And he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers. And he said, "Behold, I have dreamed another dream. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing themselves to me." Bowing themselves to me. Because remember, Yeshua is the morning star. Yeshua is the morning star. If we go one more click there, you can see it. How, like I said, with this movement now, whereas before, Regulus was here, and now Regulus is in the crown of the Virgin. Now, interesting enough, in December of 2010, some of you may have heard about this, there was a comet that came into our atmosphere called Elenin. Anybody ever hear of that comet? Yeah, there was a lot of stuff on the internet that it was going to be the end of the world and all this, but I don't know where they got that from. But what's interesting is comets, like Halley's Comet, does the same thing. They come on a cyclical pattern. So we can know exactly when Halley's Comet is coming again and when it's going to leave. Elenin was something they never knew about. And it was a one-time comet, very, very rare. As quick as it came, it just left August 17th. What's interesting about it is the name Elenin in Hebrew means gavel or hammer of Yah, is literally what it means. And for a year and a half, going from last year until this August, Jupiter and Venus followed this comet. And there was all kinds of constellations and all kinds of different things. And like I said, as quick as it came is as quick as it went. You know, really showing that the judgment of our Heavenly Father is coming upon us because the bridegroom is coming out of his chamber and getting ready to get the bride. There are amazing signs in the heavens that are happening, that will happen, actually, in 2 days. I'd like to read something to you here. That on the night of October 3rd, in 2 nights from now, everywhere around the world, the planet Venus and the star Regulus will come into conjunction together. At the pre-dawn and dawn sky. Looking eastward, you can simply can't miss it. After all, the blazing world ranks as the third brightest celestial body to light up the sky after the sun and the moon. In fact, Venus outshines Regulus by 150 times, so it is even be difficult maybe to spot Regulus in the glare. From the U.S. East Coast, the close-knit couple will be as little as 1/8 of a degree apart. Over here, even less, to 1/16 of a diameter. It will be interesting to see how the twosome will appear through binoculars at a low-powered telescope. Venus and Regulus look like they're a hair breadth apart in the sky's dome. But that's because these two celestial gems are aligned along the same light line of light. They're actually nowhere close to each other. At present, Venus resides about 100 million miles, 161 million kilometers from the Earth, whereby Regulus is 77 light years distance away. This places Regulus about 4.5 million times farther away than Venus, yet they'll be in conjunction. The first week of October provides a great exhibition of why the Greek word planet means wanderer by referencing to Regulus and the faint but visible star. You can see the ecliptic path of the planets in front of the backdrop. On or around September 27th, Venus will straddle the border of the constellations Cancer and Leo, and after that, Venus will continue to move eastward in front of the constellation of Leo, and then finally to meet up with the star Regulus, now in the crown of Virgo, in the pre-dawn hours of October 3rd. Be sure to circle this on your calendar. This will be the closest conjunction of a planet of a first magnitude for all of the year 2012. So, we have, like I said, Yahweh doesn't do signs in the heavens every day. He doesn't do them every month. He doesn't do them every year. But clearly, he showed us things so that we would know about the time. He relates them to certain things. And like I said, interesting enough, when the Lion of Judah is getting ready to be born, he's relating it one, and now he's relating it to the bridegroom coming out of his chamber. If we go back to Psalm 19, I'll be ending up here in a few minutes. We go back to Psalm 19. Starting in verse 2, like we said, day by day they pour forth speech, and night to night reveals the knowledge. There is no speech, there is no words where their voice is not heard. Their measuring line has gone out throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set up a tent for the sun, and he comes forth like a bridegroom from his canopy. He rejoices like a hero to run a race. His going forth from the end of the heavens and his orbit to their ends, and nothing is hidden from their heat. Or you could flip the next right there. So we see, like he says, like a bridegroom coming out of his canopy, he rejoices like a hero to run the race. Song of Solomon, Song of Solomon 3 and verse 11. Song of Solomon 3 and verse 11 says, "Go forth, O daughters of Zion, and see the King of Peace with the crown with which his mother crowned him on his wedding day, even on the day of the gladness of his heart." I'll read that again. Really important scripture. "Go forth, O daughters of Zion, and see the King of Peace with the crown which his mother crowned him on the wedding day, even the day of the gladness of his heart." Exactly what we are seeing. We're seeing that, again, the Father gave us signs to look for in Isaiah 7 when he asked Ahaz to seek a sign, and Ahaz said, "I won't seek a sign." What did he say? "I will give you a sign. The virgin will give birth, and his name will be Emmanuel. Elohim is with us." Then he gave us the signs in the heavens showing that birth, and now we know that Yeshua calls us the bride of Messiah. We know he's telling us to get ready. We know he's telling us to get every spot and wrinkle out, and I believe there's no way on earth that man could do this. There's no way on earth that man can manipulate the Maseroth that Yahweh made. And the fact that now is that change. Now, this year, out of any year to do it, is showing us. We're getting ready for the bridegroom to return. Luke 21 and verse 28. "But when you see these things begin to happen, have courage and lift your heads, because your salvation draws near." May we be ever watching, and may we be preparing, because the bridegroom is coming quickly. Yahweh bless.